Well, today we are celebrating our team that went to Guatemala. So I'm going to ask that the team members that are here to go ahead and come forward. They're going to be grabbing some chairs over to the side, bringing them up onto the stage, because we're going to have a sit down and chat. Kind of like, has anybody ever seen the last episode of Survivor, where they bring all the contestants out and Jeff kind of asks them what everything that went on? And that's what we're going to do about this missions trip as they come forward and we set up here. So we left on April 13th, and we went all the way to April 19th, and actually it turned out to be April 20th. We got an extra bonus day, and we'll explain more about that in just a minute. But these people have been working on going on this trip since Father's Day last year. That's when we made the official announcement. There we go, cheers. They're getting it figured. And they've been doing fundraising. They've been earning extra money to pay their way for it. And they were all in saying, hey, I believe I'm supposed to be going on this trip. And we ended up with 14 people that went on the trip. We were supposed to have 17, but the last second, we had three people through various reasons were not able to make it. And so 14 people actually went with us to Guatemala. They planned for extra. We're getting this. Don't they look good? Anybody notice the, yeah. We're going to introduce them. They're all wearing their Guatemala t-shirts. We had special t-shirts made up for going to Guatemala. And they said, do something on the front. And that's exactly what they were doing. They were doing something. I'm going to swap mics with you. Cord short. Well, I'm only going to stay right here. So this works. Check, check. You can hear me. Awesome. Get the bonus of reverb too. So let me tell you who we got that went on this trip that's here today. In the back row on the far left, we have Randon. Then we have Regan. You can wave. There we go. Ryden, Riley, Radley. And then over there we got Nikki, Tara, Chris, Shalee, John. And we've got two members that weren't able to make it here today. We had Natalie and we had Savannah. Oh, and Paul. Sorry, three. I knew there was an even number. You got to check my math here. There you go. But we went on this trip, and people had to work hard. They had to raise the money for it, and then we went to leave, and it was time for us to travel. And what I want to ask this team here, just by a show of hands, how many of you that this trip was the first time you ever left the country? Wow. And how many of you, this is the first time you ever been on a missions trip? There we go. Awesome. So they were in for an adventure. We were heading down to Guatemala City. And as we traveled, it involved that we had to keep a whole group of 14 people together going through through security, through checking in with our luggage, through getting to the gate, to feeding everybody, to having a layover in Houston, to a bus trip we took off from Chicago. And what I want to ask, and they've got a microphone they're going to pass around here, was there anyone in this group who said that, you know I signed up for this trip, but I was really nervous about going? Was there anybody here that would say that they were nervous about going? Tara, you were nervous. Tell us about that. Why were you nervous?
I think it was just really just another country and not the unknown. Knowing that we're going somewhere that there could be mean people or like scary people. Like you don't know what to expect. Really.
Right.
So
no, that's very
and then
true.
I don't know if we can say what happened, but. Just going out of the Guatemala City airport, it was a little scary.
That's fine. When it came time to land in Guatemala, it wasn't the best landing ever. Can somebody describe what happened at landing? Oh, they're giving the microphone to Shalee. Oh, no. Wait, Radley wants the microphone. He wants to describe. Tell us about that landing in Guatemala.
Well, it made me kind of want to throw up.
Okay. There we go. Made you want to throw up, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, now, what did the plane do?
It just, like, put it on its brakes, like, as soon as we landed.
It was crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah. Like what they show in the movies, like when there's a crisis with the plane, we were living it in real life, weren't we? We're like, we made it to Guatemala. Well, almost. We got into Guatemala really late at night, and it's the first we got to see the walkers as soon as we got out of customs, and we found out that we got a free pass to go through customs. And what happened was is that normally when you go through, you have to push a button. And would anybody on the team like to describe what happened when we went to go push the button and we had to go through customs? Now, what happens if it turns red? What happens if it turns green? Anybody want to share what happens with that? Regan?
It randomly decides if it's red or green. And if it's red, you got to check all of your bags and all of your luggage for anything illegal. But for us, since we're all as one group, we pressed the button and it was green, we got to go.
Because we were all wearing red t-shirts, they let the first group from, they say, oh, you guys are all part of the same group? Then you must not be terrorists. Go ahead and go. So there was value in having all the same shirt on, that we're just one really big family coming in. So the walkers picked us up. They took us to their compound that had several buildings. They showed us where our rooms were, and they told us to schedule what was going to happen Sunday. Now, before we went on this trip, they sprung on us just a few days before that there were some things we were going to have to do on the very first day that we were not expecting at all. Can anyone share something that they asked us to do on the very first day that we were not expecting to do?
One thing that I wasn't expecting at all was they asked me to do a testimony in kids' service.
And what does that mean? What were they asking you to do?
I had to share a story about, like, anger and how God can help with that.
And
it wasn't very good.
Wait, because God hasn't helped you with that yet? Is that why?
Maybe.
Oh. Now, Ryden, while you still have the microphone, how are you going to speak to kids? Do you speak Spanish?
Not at all.
Not at all. Okay. Okay. Someone else, something that you were asked to do that you were not expecting the very first day. Oh, we got a hand back here. We got Radley.
Well, I did a play kind of. I was asked to do.
For kids?
Yeah, for the.
You're supposed to be in a part of a play.
Yeah.
You weren't expecting to do that, huh?
Nope.
You're used to being the kid, right?
Yes.
There you go. So you had to work. Nice.
Yeah.
Very good. Now, something they asked me to do, which I was not expecting, was they wanted me to preach in their adult service. And I was like, wow, okay. I thought I was going to go to Guatemala and get a week off from speaking. And it turns out that Darren, our missionary, said, oh, yes, of course he'll do it. He'll be happy to do it. And I said, Darren, I don't speak Spanish. And he's like, oh, it'll be fine. It'll be great. You'll do good. And I'm like, I don't speak Spanish. And he's like, well, we'll get a really good translator. And the joke was on him because he ended up having to translate me. Oh, man. So we went to a church service to the school where we were supposed to work, because we were part of what we're going to do was work at the school and paint the school. And it belongs to a church that's two doors down. And on Sundays, they have their church service. And with their church service, it's all in Spanish. And it's kind of a different experience. And so we captured a little bit on video, and we want to show you kind of what it was like for the music and what it was like to hear your pastor have to be translated by a missionary. So let's take a look.
Yeah. I didn't get a truck.
No conseguí un pickup.
Until a few years ago.
Hace un par de años atrás.
It was a big truck.
Era un pickup grande.
Gray.
Gris, color gris.
Little tires.
Con pequeñas llantas.
But every time I drove that truck,
pero cada vez que yo manejaba este pickup,
I would imagine,
me imaginé,
big tires,
grandes llantas.
I knew
grandes. Yo sabía
what that truck was supposed to be like.
Como este pickup debería de ser.
And in the same way,
en la misma manera,
when Jesus looks at you,
cuando Jesús te mira,
when he looks at me,
cuando él me mira,
when he's looking at his disciples in John chapter 6,
cuando él estaba mirando a los discípulos en Juan capítulo 6,
he sees what you're supposed to be.
Él ve lo que nosotros deberíamos de ser.
Amén, aleluya.
Sampling of the worship service we were in, and I'd like to hear from one of the adults. All the kids were helping with the kids service, but the adults were in there with me, and I'd love to hear some thoughts about what it was like to worship with believers from another country.
Hey. So yeah, my Spanish is not exactly what I'd call fantastic. So just trying to worship with a different language is extremely difficult. That being said, one of the things that really impressed me with the whole service, can I go into that yet? Okay. One of the things that really impressed me with the whole service is just, I don't really know how to describe it, so bear with me, but almost a desperation and expectation of the congregation. When we first walked in, I saw a couple people doing it, and I thought it was a little bit strange. And then I noticed that as the service went on, everybody that walked in late did the exact same thing. Every person that walked into that sanctuary there, when they got to their seat, they got down on their knees, and they prayed for about 2 minutes or so before they even engaged in the worship, because they recognized getting their heart right so that way they could properly engage with the Spirit. It was just a very interesting change in the culture from a society that has a 57% people living below the poverty level in the entire country. Right across the street from the church, there was a two-story building. But up on the second floor, you could go into the school and look down over top of it, and it's just a steel roofing material over top of it. But inside that, it has barriers with the steel roofing, and those are actually family units. So in that building that's probably about half the size of this auditorium here, they had 8 or 9 families living in just little shacks that they had cobbled together across the street. So just the desperation and the expectation of the people and getting their heart right was really what spoke to me.
Yeah. No, it was an amazing experience. But one of the things that kind of threw us for a loop is they go to church in the afternoon. And so we're expecting, oh, wow, we're getting in really late. We're going to have to wake up nice and early. And they're like, no, we're going to do some practices and we're going to go to lunch and then we're going to go to church. And they actually told us they'd normally have church at 4 o'clock, but they moved church up just for us to 3 o'clock. And does anybody remember the reason why they moved church up to 3 o'clock for us?
So we wouldn't be there after dark.
Why shouldn't we be there after dark?
Because it's not very safe.
So they were looking out for us. That's how dangerous it was right there, that we could not be there after dark, even though there was a police station right across the way, too. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But they moved it up for us. And, I was looking at church time starting. And if you notice, if you've been here at Focus Church and you've actually happened to peek in this room at 10 o'clock, we actually always start at 10 o'clock on the dot, regardless of how many people are in the room. Now, for their church, they're like, it was 3 o'clock, and we're like, did no one get the memo? There's no one here. And Darren, our missionary, is like, don't worry about it. They'll come. It's Hispanic culture. We'll show up when we show up. And they did. You know, we blinked, and then the room was packed full, and it was interesting that way. But an interesting experience being a part of that service. Now, I skipped over a part of something that took place significantly that day, and that was lunch. Now, at the airport in Houston, Shelly and I were excited to lay over in Houston because there's a restaurant in Texas we really like. It's called Papacito's, and they actually have one in the restaurant in the airport. And so we're like, yes, we get to eat this. And everyone's like, why are you eating Mexican food? We're going to be eating Guatemalan food all week, and we should eat something else. And so we're finding out where's the first place we're going to eat on Sunday. And on the count of three, tell us where we ate. One, two, three. Pizza Hut, yes, we ate at Pizza Hut for lunch on Sunday. But I don't know if anybody remembers a movie that came out a while back. It was Sylvester Stallone called Demolition Man.
Yeah.
There you go. There's a funny part in that movie where he gets invited to go to Taco Bell. And he's like, well, Taco Bell? And they're like, this is a great honor. You're going to Taco Bell, and it turns out in the movie that all restaurants have been renamed Taco Bell, and so it was a five-star restaurant named Taco Bell. Well, in Guatemala, we may look and say, oh, Pizza Hut? But Pizza Hut was like the most amazing, big, gigantic place you've ever seen with seating rooms everywhere. It had a huge playground for kids. Huge playground in there, and it was a nice, fancy place. Nicer than our Pizza Huts. Shelley's asking about fancy. Nicer than ours, okay? But there was a reason why we were going to this Pizza Hut for lunch on the very first day is because I would like somebody to tell me why. Oh, we got Nikki. Nikki's volunteering. She's going to tell us why we were there.
We met our kids that we sponsor through Focus Church. We met Jasmine and Isaac.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A little girl and a little boy. And we wanted to go there so they had a place to play and play with the kids while we sat and talked with the parents.
Yep. So on the pictures up there, you're seeing Isaac and Jasmine. They were a blast to hang out with and talk to. And the crazy thing was is that they only spoke Spanish and we only spoke English, and yet we still figured out how to communicate. And the best part, I think, was that the kids all went to go play in the playground. And we're like, how are they communicating to each other? It's one of the pictures of Ryden's there with Isaac, and it's like they're having a whole conversation, but what are they saying? And Radley was spending some time talking to Isaac, but they'd keep on coming over to Heidi, our missionary's wife, and just asking how to translate. And there was one point, you know, Isaac's coming over and trying to say, how do I say to Radley, do you want to play hide and seek? And so she's explaining how to say it in English, and he's doing it. But he finally comes over at one point, and he's really confused because he really wants to communicate this word to Radley, and says, how do you say in English, zombies? And Heidi laughs and goes, zombies! it was cool. We got to meet their dad, who was there, and just kind of hear about their situation. And our church supports those two kids to be able to go to school, and they get an education, they get food, they get a uniform, and you guys are able to make that happen by the giving that you guys do above and beyond here. And so you guys are making a difference in their lives. And everybody here has a moment that they would say that stands out to them for the week. And my moment happened at that very first meeting, and it was when we were saying goodbye to Isaac and to Jasmine. The Isaac came up to me, and he gave me the biggest hug I've ever received. You could just feel the gratitude, and it just broke me. It impacted me that we really are doing something, that we're making a difference by what we're doing and investing in Guatemala. Now, it was time for the next day. And the next day, we had another children's service to do. Who would like to talk about the children's service that took place on Monday morning?
Okay, so Monday,
we had another kids service, and all of us were part, almost everybody was part of it. And so we did a bunch of different like games and songs and stuff when we danced with the kids. And then one of the big things we did was we kind of did another little skit where there's all like these bad things happening to me, and like little signs that said like bullying on a backpack, and I had to put them on my back, and then eventually I gave it all up to Jesus, and that it basically like taught the kids like how to forgive people even though they've done wrong bad things to you.
And after the skit, I believe we started singing another song, and there was a little boy in the front that was kind of hunched over crying, and Heidi was talking to him, and I was wondering like the whole entire time what was going on with him, and he just was telling her that he was getting bullied, and he told his mom and the teachers that he was, and nothing was happening. Nothing, there was no one helping him cope and go through the bullying. So we prayed for him, and we prayed for all the kids, because there were probably at least a dozen of them with tears running down their eyes once we did the skit. So it was a very powerful skit. You really had to be there to really know like how powerful it was to them.
I did think it was really interesting at the end of the children's service, our missionary Darren was there, and we had been praying with the kids and praying for them, and at the end he said that he just really felt like God had talked to him and said that those kids were supposed to pray for us. And it was a really neat experience to watch those kids who live in poverty and don't always know where their next meal comes from to fervently pray for us. And it just lets me know that God's love goes beyond words or language or anything like that, and he can really touch us through just little kids who have a fervent heart for him.
Yeah, that was powerful. Now, many of you guys responded at the end of the week that children's service was the most impactful time for you. And I see heads nodding there. And that's you know, really we were there to impact kids. That's what Child Hope is all about. That's what Darren and Heidi are doing, that they're the country directors for 23 schools that make education possible, but it's education combined with Jesus. And it's making a difference, and it's allowed there in the country because the school system there is so wrecked that they'll take help from anywhere. And it's the only chance some kids have is if they get an education, then they can get a leg up, and they can do something, and they can take their family out of their situation. And so it is making a difference. And so that's why we support Darren and Heidi and what they're doing, and that's why we went there. In particular, the school we went to, associated with this church, this school needed it. When they first encountered a school a couple years ago, they said it was falling apart. They barely had about 80 students, and they've just been investing their time and energy into the school and trying to make it possible for more kids to attend, to where they had 280 kids right now with a waiting list. And that's why they began construction to add more classrooms on their second level and to actually build a whole third level onto this. And at the point that we came, they've been using different missions team from different churches from across America, been helping with this project. We were the very last crew to come. And while we were there, it was Holy Week, which is the week leading up to Easter, and that's when every school in Guatemala has spring break. And so none of the kids were at school, and it was the perfect opportunity for us to come, and our job was to finish and paint the school. And so we thought, wow, this is going to be cool. And Darren's telling us the goal, saying, yep, I think in like 3 days we're going to have this done. A three-story school, inside and out, frontwards and backwards, everywhere, painted. Now, I want to ask John a question, because John works in construction. And We went through this whole roller coaster of emotions the very first day when we found out how much we had to do. John, what were we expecting to do when we got there? What were we expecting?
So I don't know if it was my gross misinterpretation of what we were supposed to be doing, but I thought we were painting the insides of classrooms. So I get there, not only is it the insides of classrooms, it is the entire exterior of the building, three stories up on a street with a curb about that big. You can't set ladders, you can't do anything. Balconies all the way through the entire thing, and just for the icing on the cake, they want to do two-tone colors in every single room with accent walls, and on top of it, they want to do pinstriping through all of the hallways. It was fantastic.
Yes.
John was so excited about it.
So this is a collection of people who just said yes to God. God, you want us to go? There was not necessarily a requirement that you had to be a painter. How many of you guys, this was your first time painting really like this? Yeah.
Well, it wasn't my first time, but I am never allowed to paint.
You're never allowed to paint, that's right. And it got infinitely, I think we dealt with seven different colors, stripes, weird locations and everything. This was the project they had for us. And Darren's meanwhile saying, guys, I have a vision. I see a vision. On Wednesday, when this day wraps up, we're going to take a picture with this whole thing done with your whole group. And we're like, what? We're like, this is impossible. Impossible. Well, apparently he did hear from God. because if it was just us, it wouldn't have happened. But because we came, the pastor of the church at that church service we're at on Sunday, he was talking to his people, and I don't know what it was. I don't know if anyone else experienced this, but for some reason, even though I don't know a lot of Spanish, I knew exactly what that pastor was saying. Chris is nodding his head that you knew exactly. Okay, so Chris, what was the pastor saying to the people? And we don't speak Spanish, but we knew what he was saying.
Yeah, I know only a little bit of Spanish, but from what I know and from being in church long enough, I could tell the pastor was saying, hey, these guys are here to help us. We need to show up and help them and get it all done.
And so we show up on Monday, and they showed up as well. And we had people everywhere. We actually didn't have enough painting supplies. It was crazy. It was, actually, it was kind of a war that we had to fight over paintbrushes and rollers. And yes, Tara, talk to us.
It was more funny when the two little kids came into the room with their hands and started painting with their hands.
With their hands, yes.
And you couldn't tell them to stop.
I think John has nightmares about little kids and paintbrushes.
I just want to say I trimmed one room seven times. That's it.
Oh, no.
Every time I walked into the room, some kid had another paintbrush with the orange and just globbing it all over the tan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Well, we've made a highlight video that shows us painting, and there's something I want you to pay attention to in this video is how many acrobatics we had to do as well as painting while we were painting. So let's take a look. It's the painting highlight. We did it. And there was that picture at the end that Darren had a vision for, all of us in front of a painted building. And if it wasn't for all the Guatemalans that helped, well, I mean, these guys, everyone worked really hard on this team. We worked all day for 3 days straight. And we're glad that inspired some certain Guatemalans to come to do the really hard ledges on the outside on the street with the ledge that was only about 12 inches wide. And they were trimming and painting. And we're like, thank you for doing that. We'll do the other crazy stuff. But you did notice that we tagged their school building and put our mark forever that Focus was there. And we painted over it, but it's there. And we have picture proof that it's there. Focus was there. And Darren told us that when we went there, he said, I'm going to feed you guys really well. As a matter of fact, you can plan on gaining how many pounds? 10. I thought he said 2, but if you gain 10, oh, man. He said, you're going to gain weight there. He said, we're going to feed you well. And so, yes, he meant that he was going to take us to Pizza Hut and a taco shack. And what else did we have?
Well, did you know that they reminded us that they said, we don't go places that does not have a door to go in.
They had
Don't eat anything. Unless you open the door.
That was important. Oh, it was really good. One day we had McDonald's. But it's different eating it in a foreign country and ordering, and it was kind of a different experience. I'd like to hear from some of you guys, name the favorite thing that you ate while there in Guatemala, your favorite thing you ate. Oh, we got Riley there.
My favorite thing was the, like, lemonade they had, and the lemonade, like, slushy thing.
Yeah.
And I also like that, like some of the different meats we had.
Good meats, yes.
We like the pancakes.
The pancakes! We had breakfast cooked for us every morning, and it was
best
awesome.
Best pancakes I've ever had.
Best pancakes he ever had, okay. Who else? Something else that you just loved eating there?
One of my favorite things was the hibiscus tea, and the favorite place that we went was the Chinese place. They had amazing fried rice.
Amazing fried rice. Someone else, your favorite thing?
My favorite food was the guacamole.
The guacamole.
I just started eating it with the fork, if nothing else.
Eating it with the fork. Oh, Randon, how about you?
I liked a lot of the food there. The spaghetti was really good, surprisingly. We had one thing for breakfast. I forgot what it's called. It was almost like a mix between a tortilla and, like, pupusa. However you say that, but it was like this bread type thing, and it had like either cheese or beans on the inside, and it just tasted really good.
Okay. How about on the front row, something that you liked eating there?
I had a couple different coffee drinks.
Yes, you did.
She ordered café con leche, which is coffee with milk, and I got this huge frappuccino thing. And she's like, I hope you like it. And it was like a white chocolate frappuccino. It was awesome.
Yes. I think we stopped at a taco place. I don't know the name of it, but they made them to order, so they were hot when they came out, and they were really good.
Yeah.
There was one of the nights we got home, and they were making steaks and sausages and everything for us, and that was really good.
I like it all. Especially the orange frosted drink.
The orange drink, yes.
There was a lot of steak. A lot of steak. And we went to this one place, the last place we went to, I can't remember what it was called, but it was just a bunch of different types of meats, you know, chicken, sausages, steaks, all that kind of stuff. Apparently the people I was sitting next to didn't like steak. I don't know what was going on with that, but I had like 4 of them. It was really bad.
Yes, they fed us well. They really did, and I personally enjoyed the not the Americanized food, but the Guatemalan food and this meat meal that they have, where they have meat and potatoes and guacamole and tortillas. And, oh, man, It's amazing, amazing. And we had that twice. Once they made it homemade at the place we were staying. They brought people in. Another time we went and had it on our last night at a restaurant. So it's two different versions of the same cultural meal. But the food, you know, Shelly and I and Randon have been to Guatemala once before. 3 years ago we went. And it was the food that kind of hooked us, besides the mission work and the impact happening. But the food hooked us. We're like, wow, we've been craving it ever since. And I think we might still crave some after this trip, too. But they like to do something there. And I don't know if it's just hazing or a practical joke they like to do to missions teams. But they like to go behind our back and announce to the people, the Guatemalan people at the restaurant, that it's somebody's birthday who's really not their birthday. They did this to Shelly on the very first meal, the very first day.
And multiple times after.
They did it to her twice. And then what was really neat is that about halfway through the week, we're eating at a chicken place, Pollo Campano.
It was Paul's turn.
It was Paul's turn. And the person who did it was actually the Guatemalan team members that work for Darren and Heidi. They loved hanging around with us, but they didn't speak any English, but they loved Don Pablo. Paul. Paul. So that's Spanish for Paul. But he was well-liked, and so they tricked the restaurant into thinking it was his birthday, and so he got the celebration. And we've got a couple videos of birthday celebrations, and Shelly's really happy about that. But let's look at Shelly's birthday party and Paul's or Pablo's birthday party. He looked thrilled, didn't he? He was like, who told them? Who put them up to that? And we explained who it was, and he's like, oh, okay. there are some amazing team members that are part of the Child Hope team that we met. Can anyone share the names or what impacted you on the team members? There was three or a few team members that worked with Darren and Heidi. Someone? Names? And something special about them.
I forgot the wife and the intern's name, but one of the people that work with Darren and Heidi, his name is Kenny, and he was playing the drums in the video earlier. And he went on a missions trip, kind of like our missions trip before a few years ago. And then on that trip, he felt like God called him to go to Guatemala. So him and his family went to Guatemala and work with Darren and Heidi now.
I'll talk a tiny bit. Darren and Heidi are there, and they have three sons that are also in Guatemala with them that go to school. Their sons are really close to our kids' age. And the whole week, it really blessed us. Our kids and their kids are pretty good friends. And they went and painted and did all the things. And I know they live there year-round. They're there all the time. But they still took out their time to come and paint with us and to do all the stuff that we did. And I know they have teams there almost every single week, and so those kids often have to go when they're not in school with the teams, but it really blesses me that their kids are still just a huge part of the ministry there.
They got a bus right before we got there for the first time, and they hired a bus driver, And I got the privilege to sit up front because nobody else wanted to be that close to the road. But what the great part was is Eddie, the driver, he did a really great job. And I don't know how they drive in that country the way they did, because there is no, like, laws on traffic.
Or doesn't appear to
the,
be.
The motorcycles have the right of way. The people do not. So you better get out of the way.
Yep. And then there was another couple as well, Saidi and Melvin. Yep. And they're Guatemalan children's evangelists who work specifically with the schools, and they were the ones leading the children's services that our team helped with. And but speaking of Eddie, the driver, a brand new employee working for them, we're the first ones they're working with, and you know, the first day we're painting, and all of a sudden there's this guy who's rolling paint next to me, and he's like a monster, like tearing it up. I'm like, where'd this guy come up? And then realized the bus driver, while he wasn't driving the bus, said, I'll help. And he was painting really well. But we wanted to give you just a little bit of the experience of what it was like to drive there. And if you get motion sick, you might not want to watch this next video clip. But let's see what it's like to drive in Guatemala.
Everyone's going to be leaving the cities, and we're going to get stuck in major traffic. I'm like, oh, I can't control all that.
McDonald's, Burger King. Yep. So I apologize that that's our tame video when everybody was on vacation. We were in Guatemala City, and Darren told us that everyone goes on vacation to the beach that week, and so there's no one in the city. And so we barely got to see any traffic at all until we tried to leave the city the last day we were there. And that was quite the experience. On the last day, they consider that your free day, and they take us to go do something fun in the country. And we got to go up a volcano. Anybody want to share about their experience on the volcano? We got a hand in the back row there.
Well, we rode up the volcano on horses, so my horse was the slowest by far. And we got to toast marshmallows, and it didn't look like there was a fire or lava or anything. It was just really hot rocks.
Someone else want to talk about the volcano? We got Regan over there.
We had to ride up horses on the volcano, and on the saddle of my horse, there was a machete on the side of it. So I wasn't very sure if the guy that was guiding my horse is extremely trustworthy, because there's a machete there. And then as we were riding down, he took me what he called the shortcut. He took me down eight in the, it was really narrow and steep paths. And they got there like 10 minutes before anyone else did.
I could have sworn like my horse was in the front the whole time, and I didn't even see Regan pass me. He just went just suddenly was there before me, even though I was in the front.
So yeah, 22 horses they had for our team to go up the volcano. A lot of, and these horses. How would you describe these horses, guys? Riley, you want to describe the horses? Were they great big horses and strong horses, or what were they?
They weren't really strong. They weren't that big. They're just little horses. And when I was coming down, I always got to be next to my mom. It was nice that we didn't tell people who were guiding our horses, because they didn't speak English, but they knew that they let us stay together the whole time. And also on the way down, I got stung by a bee for the first time.
Oh.
Speaking of injuries.
So I had an eventful day. So getting off my horse at the volcano, we were trying to leave, and I was following Pastor Ryan out, and the guy's like, just follow him. Well, I followed him, and the volcano rock that I was stepping on broke, so I fell through. And then I walked again, and I fell again. And then I got up, and I fell on my back, and I was, like, stuck. So our bus driver is also a volunteer firefighter or paramedic?
Paramedic.
So he fixed me up. I have a scratch all the way up my leg and my back, my shoulders, everywhere. That's not the worst part. So we get back down the volcano, we in the bus. Chris reaches over and he's like, you have a bug on your shoulder. I'm like, a what? So I find them on my arms, on my legs. I'm like, what's going on? So I go up to Heidi. I'm like, Heidi, what is this? What is this bug? And she's like, I don't know. I'm like, is it a tick? She's like, I've never seen one here before. I'm like, okay. So I go in the bathroom, I shake out my clothes, I keep finding them everywhere. So I go up to the bus driver, Eddie, and I'm like, what is this? And he's like, that's a tick. I had about like 20 to 30 ticks on me, finding them all afternoon. Yeah. Talk about eventful day.
And Nikki, she didn't really like react. So she's like, it's fine. And I'm looking at her like, it's so not fine.
I want to say one of the other fun things is Darren and Heidi did not want to join us because they're scared of volcano and horses and stuff. And so they dragged Melvin and Zaidi along, who were also terrified of horses, and that's kind of funny.
So we are the only group that they've ever taken up a volcano because we convinced them enough that don't be scared. You know, God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. You know, and we kept on telling Darren, I said, you know, it's a good day to die. And I said, you know, don't you want your whole family together and your friends all together at the same time? I mean, if we got to go, I mean, won't it be awesome, you know, street creds up in heaven when we say we went out on a volcano with lava, right? You know? But yeah.
We did actually get to see lava flowing. So from about here to where the sound booth is, there's lava actually flowing out of the mountain. And I mean, like red hot. Actual lava, and where you're standing, it is actually hot, like that you can feel the heat coming through the rocks. I'll also say, to Nikki's credit, when she fell, she didn't really explain this very well, but lava rock is kind of like shards of glass, so she just was, it wasn't very good.
But the highlight after riding the horses and the bugs and seeing the lava was pulling out marshmallows and roasting marshmallows on the lava, and that was a great experience. And there was like holes in the lava where the rocks are cooled, but it was still warm like an oven. So imagine the perfect roasted marshmallow. That's what we had. And that was awesome. Yep. So in wrapping up in our experience here, we tried to come home. We tried to come home. And I'm thankful that we had a little bit of foresight when we planned this trip, because we're like, wow, spring break is right before Easter. And let's take advantage of that whole week before Easter to spend time in Guatemala. And we said, hey, let's come back on Saturday, and then Easter's the next day on Sunday. And I thought, you know what? What if something was to go wrong and we couldn't get back? Maybe we should come back on Friday instead. And sure enough, as we go to leave Guatemala, they stick us on the tarmac and we're stuck and we can't take off for 30 minutes. We found out later because there's terrible weather in Houston. And then we finally got to Houston and they don't have a gate for us. So we're just sitting on the runway waiting for a gate. And we finally get into the airport in Houston and we have only about 45 minutes to get all the way through customs, get our bags, get through customs and everything, and we would have made it if we weren't interested in all of us making it back. Because as we're getting our passports scanned, there was one passport that was rejected by the scanners, and they were told, go back to the end of the manual line. I don't know, I mean, if we could even guess who this person would be, but it was Paul. They didn't want him back
poor
in the country.
Paul.
I don't know. It was funny. So we could have all made it back, but I said, we don't leave anyone behind at Focus. There we go. So we waited, and we began then the long 3 to 4 hour process of them figuring out how do we send a team of 14 people back to Chicago on flights that are already full. And they're like, oh, we got one for you. It's the next day, and you're going to go to Denver first. And we're like, well, what are we supposed to do between now and then? We haven't eaten tonight. We have no place to stay tonight. We didn't plan on this. We don't have the money for this. How do we even get to the airport? They wanted us at the airport at 4:30 in the morning. And we're like, you want us to all camp out at the gate? And they're like, well, you missed your flight because of weather. It's not our fault. We don't have to do anything. And we're like, okay. So we had a little strategy that would involve, let's take 14 grumpy travelers and let's get close to the counter and let's just stand there and look at them and just say, what else can you do? And the person's like, we can't do anything. It's weather related. We're not obliged to. I mean, they're almost getting kind of like, you know, not very nice. And finally, she's like, do you want to talk to the manager? I just said, be happy to talk to your manager. Please get the manager. The manager comes out and says, well, sir, your flight was delayed for weather. We don't owe you anything. I'm like, but you're going to do something, right? She's like, I'll see what I can do. And so they began working and working and trying to figure out.
I would like to say, while Ryan's at the counter, all of these people here are praying really hard. Like, who really wants to sleep in the airport that night? And we really needed a flight back. And I know back home that several people had texted and said, hey, pray, we need to figure out how to get home and what's going to happen. And so God started working.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm just standing at the counter, and she's looking through stuff. She's trying to see, and she's like, well, if I were to give you a hotel, how many rooms do you need? I said, I need 6 rooms. And she's like, you ain't having 6 rooms. She said, try again. I said, the absolute minimum we need is 5 rooms because of relationships and male and female and kids and adults and everything. We need 5 rooms. And she's like, you're not getting that. Think again. Try again. And I said, well, I talked to my wife. This is what she said. She's like, bring out your wife. I'll tell her. And I'm like, Shalee, come on up here. She's like, okay. And Shalee just stands there next to me. And this manager goes on to explain that it's not our policy to do anything. We don't owe you anything. We don't have to do anything. It's weather related. And then she paused and she said, I'm giving you 6 rooms. And she was surprised at this. Like someone had just done a Jedi mind trick on her, literally. And she's like, I don't know why did I just say that? I'm giving you 6 rooms. And then she's looking at it, she's like, I'm giving you 6 rooms at the Hyatt. And I'm giving you meal passes for the next 3 meals. And she's like, I don't know why I'm doing this, but she's like, every time I look up at you, it's like your shirt is screaming at me saying, do something. The shirts were worth it. we're able to make it back the next day. 2 long days of travel and everything. But God provided for us and made us all come back safely. And in wrapping up our time and talking about the trip, I just want to hear from anyone who would say, who would like to answer this question. You know, if there was somebody here who was considering going on a trip, Why should they consider doing a missions trip the next time we do one? Radley wants to tell you. Well, Tara.
I guess your heart changes, 'cause mine has, and just to see life in a different perspective and to know how, you know, honestly, how lucky we are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are. Bradley?
Well, I really like just like the kids service. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it impacted me in several different ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and mission trip is good. Yeah.
So they should go.
Yeah.
Even if they're scared.
Yeah.
They'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. There
you go. It was awesome.
It was awesome. That's right. Now, we got one more.
Well, going into it, like, I've already been to Guatemala before. I don't really need to go again, but, like, going there, this is a completely different experience. And I think for anyone, like, going to a different country is just kind of a scary thing to do, and you don't really know what to expect. Like, you're going to go and do some work at this other country, talk to people you don't even speak the same language as them, but, like, you really got to do something, like our shirts say. You got to do something, and I think that, like, God is really wants people to at least experience going on a missions trip at least one time in their life. It really does change your heart, change your mindset, and, like, how seeing how God impacts not only our country, our city, he also impacts the entire world, and there's people doing God's work all around the world, and it's really amazing to see that.
That's my boy. Well, we've got a quick video we're going to show you, and it's actually a message from the pastor of the Guatemalan church that we helped out, and let's see what he has to say to us.
Un saludo a la iglesia Enfoque.
Greetings, Focus Church.
Gracias por el apoyo.
Thank you for the help.
Hemos tenido aquí en Guatemala.
We have had here in Guatemala.
A sus pastores.
Your pastors.
Y han sido de una bendición muy especial.
And they have been a special blessing to us. Amen.
I'd like you guys to stand at this time. We're gonna close our service at this moment in time. I know we've been here for a while and we've been sharing what's been going on. And as you leave today, you know, see the pictures, see the souvenir, talk to the team members wearing the shirts to find out more. But, you know, we didn't come back empty-handed. We actually have a gift for everyone here. And that is that everyone here is going to get a miniature Guatemalan flag. And we ask that you would take this flag and you put it somewhere prominent, someplace that you would see it. And when you see it, that you just don't remember about that group of people that you heard about in their trip, but you actually look at it and say, you know what, there are people there who need Jesus, and we're a part. This is the whole idea about the mission. When Jesus said, hey, I want you to go into the entire world and I want you to share the good news, what he was saying was for everyone who would follow him. And that includes you and it includes me, but we all can't go to other countries. And if we take it literally at that, then we are failing Jesus if we're not going, right? Except that we're part of a bigger picture and a bigger plan and a bigger team. That just like this team went to Guatemala, it was actually this team that went to Guatemala because we supported the group going there. Just because we're gone from Guatemala doesn't mean that the work stopped in Guatemala, because we have representatives, we have missionaries from our church, Darren and Heidi, who are there making a difference, who have sacrificed so much to be there. And they're reaching boys and girls for Jesus, and it's changing their lives, it's changing their families, it's gonna change a whole country. We are making a difference, and so that means our family here, Focus Family, we are doing what Jesus said, to go into all the world and share the good news that I want you to be a part of my family. And this is why we have a heart for the mission. Focus Church will always be focused on the mission and helping people find their next level with God here in Sun Prairie, here in Dane County, but also here in Wisconsin, here in the United States, and all around this world, including Guatemala. Now, we can look at the whole world and say, it's a great big world with lots of people who need Jesus. And we can get overwhelmed and say, there's nothing, I mean, how can we really affect everything? But you know what? What I think we're supposed to do is we're supposed to do something. And that's what we're doing. We're doing something. So it's important for us to pray. It's important for us to give. And it's important for us to go. And so at this time, we're going to pray for our missionaries that are in Guatemala. We're going to pray for the country of Guatemala. And after I'm finished praying, we will be dismissed for today. But make sure that you see one of our young people from our team. They're going to have a bucket in the back, and they want to give you that flag, and you put that in a prominent spot, and you continue to pray for Guatemala. So let's pray for Guatemala. God, we are so thankful for the opportunity to get to see firsthand what you are doing in another country, how you are changing lives, that you are changing a generation, that you are changing a country for you. It is amazing to see the work that our missionaries are doing. But God, right now we want to lift up our missionaries to you, the Walkers, Darren and Heidi. God, as they have sacrificed, as they are there, as they have said yes to you, God, I pray that you bless them, that you keep them safe. Lord, that you continue giving them vision and creativity, that you provide sponsors and resources that more kids, God, we have seen their heart firsthand. We've seen they've got a big heart and they've got a big vision. And God, I pray that more people would rally behind. Lord, that you would even help us to help them even more, to be able to reach more kids for you. God, I pray for their boys as they're being raised in a home of parents who said yes. God, I pray that you provide for them. I pray that you lead them, Lord, that they would follow you. Lord, that they would have the mission on their heart the rest of their lives. Lord, I pray for those who went on this trip, Lord, that we've heard today that they have been changed. They have been impacted by seeing another country and seeing the work that you're doing. And God, for that moment that many of them spoke about in regards to these Guatemalan kids praying for them, God, I pray you use them in a special way. God, I pray that you put a special burden in their hearts for the mission, that there is plenty of people, there is a lot of people who need you. So God, we pray that you would continue to grow our hearts for the mission. And I pray for each person who is here today, as you've sat and you've heard these stories, God, I pray that each person here has been affected in some way by your heart for the mission. Lord, as other opportunities present themselves to go and see firsthand of what you're doing, God, I pray that we would pray and that we would give and that we would go, that we'd make a difference around this planet, in this country, in this state, in this county, in this city, that would make a difference for you. It's the whole reason why you sent your son, so that the world could be saved. We love you, God, and we praise you. May this be the beginning. We celebrated that this was the first missions trip this church has done, but God, we know it's not the last, that it's the first of many, many trips as more people get exposed and have a heart for the mission. We love you, God, and we praise you, and we thank you today. And in Jesus' name, we all said, amen and amen.